If you noticed in the laning, many of you might have, if you have any Bali Kriya here, you'll notice that there was a dispute. Where exactly did the end of the Aliyah take place on last week's Parsha? There seems to be a machlokes. Where was the end of the sixth Aliyah? And the Parsha is Bereishis. So if you look in the old Chumash, and they all have it at Shishi, at Perek Hei Pasuk Aleph. That's the end. However, if you look, it seems to be that that's perhaps not the right place to make the ending. Why not? Because we have a rule in Shulchan Aruch, and it's in Shin Lamed Ches, Reish Lamed Ches. Yeah, it's about right. Reish Lamed Ches, or Shulchan Aruch writes that you're not supposed to end off an aliyah on a depressing note, on something which is negative. So if you look in this pasuk, Ulesheis Gam Hu Yulad Bein, Vayikra Shemai Enosh, Oz Hu Chalikroi B'Shem Hashem. On the simple understanding, it sounds like a good thing. That's when he decided to call out Hashem's name. Rashi learns on this pasuk, it was not good. Rashi learns this was a massive breach in Avodah Zarah. This was not that they called Hashem's name. They called everything godlike, which means they had rampant Avodah Zarah. So the argument is, that's not a good place to end the Aliyah. Therefore, many people ended the Aliyah three Pesukim earlier. However, to be fair and honest, there is a Svarner on this Pasuk. The Svarner learns not like that. The Svarner learns that no, this was one of the Sheis, was Enosh, and these were the people that got up and made public displays, public proclamations of Kiddush Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, and then therefore, it is very befitting to have this as a Seif Pasuk, as the end of the Aliyah. So the Machlokes Rishonim between Rashi and the Svarner was telling whether or not this should be the ending, or the ending should have been a couple of Pesukim over. I don't know what most, again, if you look in the old print, Chumash, and they all have it at Parakeh, but again, some of the newer ones, I believe, have it a few Pesukim earlier. They have the break at Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chav Dalet. By now, I don't know what the young Israel would be. They say Tachlon after Isruchak?
Sure.
They do. That's right. I thought like that also. I was talking to a fellow Davos in Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills. He told me, no, we don't say Tachlon. I said, what does that mean? You not say tachron. It's got to be like in the bylaws somewhere that after Yisrochag you say tachron. Tell me where a nusach svard young Israel. So no, you're not. You have nusach Ashkenaz. So I don't have an answer. I have to ask my Fabian if he has a mahalach. Maybe what's the shot? But in any case, many shuls don't say tachron after Yisrochag. Now, whenever you talk about tachron, no one ever wants to know why. They just accept it and move on. I'll finish davening 3 minutes early. I don't care why, but I'll be out 3 minutes early. I'm taking it. I'm running with it. But it does need a bit of a discussion. Why shouldn't we say Tachron after Yisrochag? If you look in Shulchan Aruch up and down in all the pages, you're not going to find anywhere where it says not to say Tachron after Yisrochag. If anything, the diyuk would be in the Shulchan Aruch where the Ramah, I think the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes that after Yom Kippur, we don't say Tachron, and I think there he writes until Yisrochag, which is medayik that after Yisrochag, we go back to saying Tachron. So why has it become an accepted custom that we don't say Tachron? Because there's a Magen Avraham. Oh, we'll get there in a second, yeah. So there's a Magen Avraham, a small Magen Avraham, the last Magen Avraham in all of Hilchas Sukkah. Right after that, he goes into Hilchas Chanukah. The Magen Avraham writes, we don't say Tachron after Yisrochag until Rosh Chodesh. It doesn't give you a reason. No rhyme or reason, nothing. So some people say, oh, it's just like Chodesh Nisan. Just like we don't say Tachron the whole Chodesh Nisan, we don't say Tachron the whole Chodesh Tishrei. Now, there's only one problem. Why don't we say Tachron the whole Chodesh Nisan? So we spoke about this many times. One of the reasons is because you have Roiv Chodesh. Since most of the month you don't say Tachron, so the whole month you don't say Tachron. The numbers don't work out like that for Tishrei. Because in Nisan, the first 12 days you don't say, then you have already Erev Pesach, and then you have the 7 days of Pesach. So yeah, have Roiv. You don't have Roiv by Tishrei. We were saying Tachron. Dalet, Gimel, and Dalet, and Hey, and all those days we said Tachron. So it's a shtickle kash. It's a light plug. So one terrace they give, I think this is probably the most logical answer, is that they say, we know that Shemini Atzeres is a regal b'fnei atzmai. It's a Yom Tov unto its own. So since Yom Tov b'fnei atzmai, it has to have 7 days of makeup. So if it has to have 7 days of makeup, just like on Shavuos, many people don't say Tachanun after Shavuos for 7 days because it's a regal b'fnei atzmai. So here also you don't say Tachanun because it's a regal b'fnei atzmai. Someone told me a gavaldic story with the Satmar Rebbe, that the Satmar Rebbe was told by his doctor that he's not allowed to partake in the hakafas. So you have problems with your feet, you have to sit out the entire hakafas. You're not allowed to dance. Your feet are sensitive. They're dangerous. You're not allowed to dance. So the Samaritan danced that kafas like you can't imagine. So someone came over to me and said, but the doctor said you're not allowed to. He said, no, because it's regal b'fnei atzmai. Shmini is regal b'fnei atzmai. It's a yomtif on its own. So I'll play on words. It's a regal. It's a foot on its own. It's a whole different set of feet. So if I said to Samaritan, but my feet are different on Shmini Atzeres, therefore I was able to dance. Okay. I wouldn't suggest that if you know, the doctor might not be happy with you after Shmini Atzeres, but that was a joke he said. So therefore, says the Achrayim, since Shmini Atzeres is a regal b'fnei atzmai, so you have to have 7 days tashlum. So you have to have 7 days tashlum, and we don't say tach. That's, I think, the most logical of the answers. The Kavachayim has a whole discussion in his Sefer, and Simon Kuf Lamar Aleph, he has a whole discussion, he tries to figure out different shatim. One of his pshatim are, I can't say I understand it, but he says that since we started off Tishrei, like a little bit of a, it's a tough start to the month. It was hard, it was a brutal start, you know, it was Rosh Hashanah, it was Sashimi Tshuva, so we want to end off on a higher note, on a more besimcha dikka note, I guess. We all know not saying Tachanun is the greatest simcha in the world, and therefore, that's why we don't say Tachanun. But it does need discussion, I'm not saying, but again, the way it became today is that Nusach Ashkenaz generally does say Tachanun, Nusach Svar doesn't say Tachanun, but it does need some further discussion. There's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes, you don't say Tachanun till Rosh Chodesh. So it's a bit of a discussion. What also always comes up after Rosh Hashanah, always after Sukkot, is Bahab. So someone was telling me that his rabbi was trying to convince him to do Bahab so he can lose weight after all that he ate over Sukkot. That's not exactly the best selling point for why you should fast Bahab. It's not so you can lose the weight. I think everyone should try. But Bahab is found in the Gemara and Kiddushin. The Gemara and Kiddushin, the end of the fourth parak, writes that one of the worst times for spirituality was Pesach and Sukkot. Why? There was a lot of intermingling. That's the way Tosfos learns the Gemara. There was a lot of intermingling on Pesach and Sukkot between the men and the women. It wasn't so kosher. So therefore, we need a fast, the Monday, Thursday, Monday, after Sukkot and Pesach, to get our shtekel kapar. That's the way Tosfos learns in Kiddushin. There are other pshatim. I think the Levush writes, and this we'll talk about B'l'Nedr Tuesday night, that one of the reasons we fast after Sukkot and Pesach is because Sukkot and Pesach both have a Chol HaMoed. And where most of us are probably prone to being Mevaza Chol HaMoed, because we haven't yet learned the halachas of how to properly interact with Chol HaMoed, so we're probably guilty of being Mevaza Chol HaMoed, and that's why we fast the Monday and Thursday and Monday after every massive Pesach and Sukkot to be Mechaper on the Zilzul of Chol HaMoed. I think another pshat they say is because of the change in the weather. I always call that allergies. After Pesach, after Sukkot, the weather changes. And they write that change in weather can be harmful. So we fast to combat that change in weather. That's why we fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. But nonetheless, it's almost forgotten today. I know people who do fast Bahab. I shouldn't say no one does it. But very small minority of people that fast the Bahab. But we don't start it till after the Chodesh is over. So it's not going to be for another week. Next week already, there'll be Mavarichit. Those people, they'll make a bracha by Shabbos for those, the Mishaberich, for those who do it. And there are those people who do it. And the yeshivas, I think they still say Slichas. On Bahab. They don't actually have a fast day, but at least they say Slichas to commemorate the fact that there's something called Bahab. In the parsha last week that we read, we come to the very famous klola handed down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to both the Nochosh, to Adam, and to Chava. Three sets of punishments for three different people involved in the crime of eating from the Eitz Hadas. Maybe one day we'll talk about it at length. What exactly was the Eitz Hadas? So everyone knows, what was the Eitz Hadas? Esrei. That's what everyone tells me. If you ask the secular non-Jewish world, they all tell you it was an apple. And if you ask the frumer world, they all tell you it was a esrei. They're both wrong. Neither of those pshatim are recorded in the Gemara. The Gemara has three pshatim. The Gemara in two places has three pshatim what the Eitz Hadas was. Either it was a te'ena, it was a chitin, or it was gefen. So everyone's got it wrong. The left and the right, they both have it wrong. Now, why do so many people think it was an esrei? Because there's a medrash like that. The medrash writes, and it's a Baal HaTurim in last week's parsha, there's only two places in the Torah. The Torah writes the word pre-eitz. One is by Eitz Hadas, one is by Esrik. So Zokta Baal HaTurim, it's a riot to the Medrash. Rabbi Salvechik was once asked, how could you say it was an Esrik, or was it whatever it was? Everyone knows it was an apple. So Rabbi Salvechik said, that's a mistake. The apple that people call today, the apple of Tanakh, is a different apple. The word Tapuach is not the same thing. And he thinks absolutely, under no circumstance, was it an apple. So it's not an apple. So either it was a Chita, an Esrik, whatever, one of these different things you want to consider it, it was one of the above. Most people assume it was Geffen. It was wine, and that's why wine works its way very often into our rituals. We always have wine at everything, because we're always trying constantly to be misakin for the Eitz Hadas. We're always trying to fix that mistake, and that's why we always have wine. That's why the Vilna Gaon says you're not supposed to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. The Vilna Gaon in Maaseh Rav is quoted, you're not supposed to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the Eitz Hadas was a gefen, and you're not supposed to have grapes. So the Mefarshim say Adam was a big lamdan. Adam knew that grapes was asr. But he thought that if you squeeze the grapes, she squeezed grapes and gave him wine. So he thought that's only Zeya Ba'alma. That's not the same thing. That's not a grape. A grape is a grape. He took the grape, she took the grape and squeezed it out. That's what the Gemara calls Zeya Ba'alma. The Gemara has a whole discussion in brachas about what brachas do you make on things that are derived, the derivative of the thing itself. So Adam was a big lump. Adam tied it, I'm allowed to eat the grape juice. It's Zeya Ba'alma. It's not the actual grape. So therefore it's mutter. But nonetheless, the Vilna Gaon quotes a minhag that many people keep this. They don't eat grapes. So I heard a shift. What? Oh, so that's the kasha. We know wine is why we always do. So the answer, that's how someone's supposed to be mechaper. I heard a shift from Rabbi Feiner, he mentioned, he said, it's ironic, if you hold it was the esrig, so why do we take it on Sukkot? Front and center, esrig. So he says, fakir, he quotes, he said, he heard someone from the Chassam Sofer said this, that because in Sukkot we do tshuva me'ahava. On tshuva me'ahava, all our aveiros become like mitzvahs. Oh, so now we take this thing, which was gufa, wasn't aveira, and we show it proudly as a mitzvah. Nice idea. But in any case, what are the punishments handed down? So the Nochash's punishment is... Oh, what?
Chitim comes from a tree?
Yeah, I guess it grows. Yeah, so the Gemara says. The Gemara is tweep shot, chitin, teina, or geffen. That's what the Gemara says.
Wheat grows by itself.
Usually wheat grows from the ground. Yeah, it doesn't grow from a tree. I don't know. So what was the punishment? So the Nachash punishment was he has to eat dirt. So I heard this from Rav Shechta points aside. He says, what type of klal is that? That's great. He never has to worry about food. Everywhere he goes, there's food. Great punishment. No fast food everywhere you go. Today we have to go worry about where we're going to find food and where we're going to eat. He's got a perfect system. Everywhere he goes, there's offer. So what's the big klala? So he said over, I think he quoted from others. He said the klala was he's no longer connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu severed all relationships with him. He said, listen, you're on your own. Nice knowing you. You don't know me. You don't need me. I don't need you. I'm not going to talk to you. You're not going to talk to me. You're on your own. That was the biggest klala anyone can get, is to be disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says over a story with Rabbi Lef, who said a maisa once where there was a kid where his father was getting remarried to a woman. And the woman said, I'm only going to remarry you on condition that your son is out of the picture. So the father told the boy, listen, here you go. Here's an unlimited credit card. Here's a car. Here's an apartment. One tonight. Don't ever show up at my house again. So most teenagers, that's like their dream. They dive in every day for that to happen. Unlimited credit card, money, and parents don't want to see them. But Rabbi Lev pointed out that this kid actually ended up needing to go for therapy. Because the idea of being completely cut off from a parent, although it sounds so nice and terrific, it's deep-rooted, is not healthy. We have a desire to connect. So therefore, the greatest claw that Nachash got was he was not allowed to connect. Because Baruch Hashem said, you're on your own. Here's my credit card. Eat the offer, you're on your own. It sounds great. It doesn't sound great. Because it therefore created a situation there was no need to attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I wanted to really get to the klala of Chava. This is good if you ever have to speak at a bris milah maybe, or another event where you're discussing birth, or a child. The Gemara says in Erevin Daf Kuf, what was the klala given to Chava? So Rashi quotes it here in Chumash. The klala was, and the pasuk describes it, that you're supposed to have harbe erba itzvaynech veheronech be'etzev tel dibonim. So Rashi explains, what are these three klalas? So Rashi says the first klala is tzar gidol bonim, the pain of raising children. The second klala is going to be pregnancy. And the third klala is childbirth. So the Mashon, Erevin asks, it's out of order. You first have pregnancy, then you have delivery, and then you raise the children. So why is it out of order? So Rabbi Shulab Diskin gives a great answer. Rabbi Shulab Diskin says, tzar gidol bonim doesn't mean raising your children. It means helping out with your siblings at home. Right, these girls grow up. I always remind my daughter, she's an oldest girl. Oldest girls, they have a lot of responsibility at home. They have to help out with the siblings as much as they possibly can. So first the girl has to help out with her siblings. Then she first gets married, and then the kola starts again. Then she first gets pregnant. And then she first has a tzar leida. But therefore, Zakti Yibshul, this is another tzar gidol bonim is not raising her own children, but it's helping out with her siblings, being helping out at home. That's also part of the kola. But I think perhaps the answer is that tzar gidol bonim is the klala that goes forever. Pregnancy and delivery, there's a limitation for how long a delivery can be. If you look in the world record, the longest delivery, whatever however hours it was, the longest pregnancy, however months it was. But tzar gidol bonim never comes to an end. Ask anyone here who has parents, grandparents, as they say, the kids get bigger, all that happens is the problems get bigger. They don't go away. There's always more to worry about, more to be concerned about, more to be worried and thinking about. So tzar gidol bonim perhaps is the klala that goes on the longest and never ceases to end, because all that happens is the kids get bigger, life gets more complicated, and parents worry even more. So maybe that's why the tzar gidol bonim goes first before the other two, because the other two have a time limit. Eventually they'll come to an end, pregnancies end and delivery ends, but tzar gidol bonim, that continues to go on, and therefore the Torah put it first. The Mefarshim say, the Gemara says really in Avodah Zarah that Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYosha. We learn Yashris from this Sefer, we learn how to be a mensch. How does a person learn how to be a mensch? He learns how to be a mensch from this week's parsha. Where do you see from this sefer? Where do we see? Because Rashi quotes in the opening Rashi says the Torah really should have started with the first mitzvah. Why didn't it start with the first mitzvah? Because we don't want the goyim thinking that they have rights to the land. We got to set everyone straight. The world is ours. Hashem gave it to us. No one has claims on Eretz Yisrael, which is what goes on today every single day. The Arabs and all the rest of the world say, no, you have no rights to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, they forgot Rashi in the first pasuk in Chumash. But asks the Slon Rebbe, fine, I understand that. So why did the Chumash, after going through the 7 days of creation, then go straight in to the mitzvahs? Why do we have an entire sefer, which is void of mitzvahs? It's all stories. We have Cain and Hevel, and then we have the Dara Mabel and the Dara Flaga, and we have this and that. All these wonderful, fantastic stories which we spend hours and hours learning about, but no mitzvahs. If the Torah is supposed to be a book of Jewish law, why did we? I understand, says the Slama Rebbe. You got to get the rule out that we own the world. Fine, terrific. So after Shani, we should start again with the mitzvahs. So the Slama Rebbe explains, now the purpose of Sefer Bereishis is to teach us the importance of Midas. person has to learn, what does it mean to be a mensch? What happens if you don't have your midah straight and correct? You can end up being a kain and a hevel. You can have sibling rivalry to the point, if taiva engulfs you, you can end up killing your own brother. If you have such a desire for cover, you can become like the dar haflaga. You can become like the dar hamabel. All these negative character traits are something we need to learn from to have positive character traits. All the midahs and all the proper etiquette that we have to learn and have to behave is taught to us in through Sefer Bereshit. All these stories are to teach us how to be better people, because again, as we all know, derech eretz kadma l'Torah. You can't learn the Torah, you can't keep the mitzvahs, and you become a mensch. You have to know what does it mean, what's right and what's wrong, and how to behave and how not to behave. But they point out that there's something interesting over here that we learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from Adam, two very important lessons of how to have proper menschlichkeit to dealing with people. We find by the moon complained that you can't have two leadership roles. You can't have two great powers. So Hashem said, no problem. You'll lose your job. You'll become the moon. You'll be secondary. Yet Rashi says in the next pasuk, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mefayasim. He gave him the stars. So every kasha is, why should Hashem be mefayasim? When a kid that makes a mistake, he gets punished. You know, no mefayis. You don't slip him, you know, dessert when he's not when the parents are not looking. The kid deserves the punishment. So if the Levana misbehaved, the Levana spoke out of line, the Levana deserves to be punished. Why is the Levana being mespayas b'kechavim? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us a very valuable lesson in life, that even when you have to punish someone, and you have to come down hard, and we have to punish our children, and we have to rebuke those around us, but there has to be a certain amount of loving and care that goes into it. It doesn't have to be all rush, all harsh and rough and tough, yelling and screaming and pointing your finger. There has to be a certain element of a kindness, even sometimes a pious behind it, if you want to accomplish what you want to do with the Musa. Rabbi Dr. Avram Tursky tells over this story, and it's a great story. He says when he was 10 years old, he was a boy, he was a fantastic chess player. Fantastic chess player. And one year in Rosh Hashanah, his father had over a guest in the house who was a rabbi. And the rabbi asked Avram as a boy, do you want to play chess? So he turned to him and said, Rabbi, you're allowed to play chess on Rosh Hashanah. So the rabbi said, yeah, don't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch you can't play chess on Rosh Hashanah, which is true, doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. So Avram Tversky had two chess games with this fellow. He beat him in both games. Later that day, his father calls him into his office, and he knows now he's in trouble. His father calls him in, his father's sitting at the desk, learning from a sefer, and he looks up at him. He says to his son Avram, chess on Rosh Hashanah? So he says back to his father, but the rabbi told me it's mutter. So his father looks down and thinks and goes back to chess on Rosh Hashanah? So he obviously got the message that he shouldn't play chess on Rosh Hashanah. And he felt, you know, message well received. And he's sitting there, and normally the way it worked was is that his father would tell him, okay, now it's time to leave my office. No, go on. But he hasn't got that permission to leave yet, so he's just sitting there sulking and taking it all in. His father looks up from the sefer and says, did you win? So he says, yeah, I won both games. It's okay. Now you can go. No. Rabbi Tversky held you can't play chess on Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Avram Tversky said about that. He said, a very important lesson in life. Sometimes we have to rebuke our children, but you don't want to make them feel that they don't count, that they don't exist, that they're not important. Low self-esteem. He says, my father was rebuking me, but he wanted me to feel good about it. He wanted me to walk out saying, you know, my father wondered if I won or if I didn't win. So that's the thing with the Levana. Because Rabbi said, I got to punish the Levana. Levana did something wrong. But I'm not going to come down hard and make, you know, teach the world that everything is bad and every time you sin, you're a horrible person. He was trying to discuss that the problem with kids today is they have very low self-esteem because often as parents, we break their self-esteem. We tell them they're no good at everything, so of course they're going to have low self-esteem. What do you expect? So he was trying to say how you can build up their self-esteem. And there's one other place where we find it in this week's parasha. I think this Rav Pam points this out, and this is fantastic. It says, Rav Pam, when does Adam give Chava this glowing title, Ki Eim Kol Chai? He gives it to her after the Aveira, and after all the punishments are handed down. Says Rav Pam, let's put ourselves in Adam's shoes for one second. You hold that Chava destroyed the entire world. She ruined your perfect life. You had this beautiful world of just sitting in Gan Eden, sipping iced tea and learning Torah or whatever else they did in Gan Eden. Never had to work, never had to get a job, never had to deal with a boss. No one would ever die. And you hold that Chava ruined that for everyone. So if you had to give her a title at this point in time, what would that title be? I don't think I'm going to pronounce it because this is listened to many people, so I'm not even going to say it, right? We can imagine what the title would have been for his wife. Zogt Rav Pam, what did he give her? He gave her a glowing title. Eim Kol Chai. Said Rav Pam, Adam is teaching us that people make mistakes, spouses make mistakes, children make mistakes, people we work with make mistakes. The difference is, do we harp on it or do we just move on? Yes, you made a mistake. Okay, no, fine. Let's move on. The mistake doesn't define who you are. That's what Adam taught us. Don't allow mistakes to define who people are. And it's so easy to do that. We label people and they're stuck in that forever and ever. Forever you're the person who made a mistake. Adam acknowledged it. Yes, she made a mistake. Chavirila, she made a mistake. Everyone's on the same page. They all made a mistake. But there's no reason to harp on it. There's no reason to focus on it. And there's no reason to call her by that. And therefore, says Rav Pam, again, I think these are all lessons in what does it mean to be a Yosher and Midas and how a person's supposed to live a life. A person realizes that these little things make a big difference. And therefore, the Torah tells us that Adam Bedafka called her Ein Kol Chai now, at a time where he could have called her something else, and maybe was even justified, debatable whether or not it would be justified, for it was her fault for everything. Nonetheless, the Torah says that Adam went the high road and he decided to give her a glowing title. My wife always reminds me of this week's parasha. She always tells me, I got to get a job, I got to make money, I got to work, it's not all her job. Every week I get the same drasha from this passing, this week's parasha. Okay, so that's why we got to work. Okay, so back to the Gemara. Anyone remember what we're up to? Okay, good.
Rebbe Elazar de Mila.
Learning Rebbe Elazar de Mila. I was thinking about it this morning. How many weeks it's been? It's been a lot of weeks since we learned Rebbe Elazar de Mila. Baruch Hashem, we're back. We're able to learn Rebbe Elazar de Mila. It's a great schos. We thank you and Gizwa for having us, for housing us, allowing us to be here, giving us lights, heat, air conditioning, most of the time. Okay. But in any case, Baruch Hashem, we're very thankful that we're here, that we're able to learn Torah, we're able to continue learning Rebbe Elazar de Mila, the 19th parak of Shabbos. If anyone remembers the last time we met on a Sunday to learn Rebbe Elazar de Mila, we were talking about the concept of doing a Mila when it would require the tzaras to be cut off as well. Meaning, there's a violation in the Torah to cut off tzaras. There's also a mitzvah to cut off a mila. So we had a conflict of what happens when the two things collide together. So we discussed asidah chaloisa, say some other things. Now, we're holding down the Gemara. I wonder if anyone remembers that this Mar Mokam sheet might look a little familiar, because it was the one I gave you last time before Sukkis, but we do need a little bit of a review before we'll move on in the Sukkis. So let's just see the Gemara one more time. The Gemara wanted to know that I have a special pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, Bisar, that I'm allowed to do a Mila, even if by doing the Mila, I'm going to cut off the Tzaras. Even though there's a violation of cutting off a Tzaras, I'm allowed to do so if I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. So the Gemara is a kasha. Right, the Gemara. Abaya aliba de Reb Shimon. Abaya according to Reb Shimon. Who's Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon is of the opinion Davish Ein Meschave Mutter. Reb Shimon knows if I do an act without the intention of the final result, I'm not in violation. So we can assume when the Moel cuts off the Bris Mila, he's not thinking Tzaras, he's thinking Mila. So that's called Davish Ein Meschave, so that would be Mutter. And now the Gemara says this is before we know this thing called Psik Reisha. So we're holding right now, it's a Dovah Shein Meschavin. We don't yet know Psik Reish is us. So Frank Tigmar, great kasha. The Abaya, Aliba de Reb Shimon, Abaya, according to Reb Shimon, that holds Dovah Shein Meschavin Mutter, Hai Bisar my Ovidle. Why do I need a pasuk of Bisar to teach me that I'm allowed to cut off the Tzaras through the Maisa Mila? Of course I'm allowed to. It's a Dovah Shein Meschavin. Reb Shimon holds Dovah Shein Meschavin Mutter, and we don't yet know this thing called Psik Reish. So Amrev Amram, but Oymer Lokuts Behirosoi, who Meschavin? So, Enfid the Gemara, no, we're talking about a case over here where he tells us that he intends to cut off his tzaras. He tells who? What's going on over here? So Rashi learns. So Rashi, but Omar Lakutz, Gadol. We're talking about a case where the person getting the Mila is not a child, it's a Gadol, he's 13. Shehu Baroin Shem, he's already of age to get punished. And he tells the Mayol, Lakutz Behirasoi Bechavon Litar. The recipient of the Mila tells the Mayol, I want you to have in mind, when you're cutting off my Mila, I want you to have in mind to also cut off my Tzaras. Oh, so that's Taka, and that's not any Mischavin anymore. That's Mischavin, that's intent. He's intending to have his Tzaras cut off. Now, the obvious Kasha is, and the Mishle Melech is going to talk about this in a second, but who's doing the Maisa Ketitza? The Mayol's doing the Maisa Ketitza. I'm not the Mayol, I'm the recipient. I'm the one who has the Kavana. So who has the Isser on him? The Isser is to cut off a Tzaras. That Isser has to be with intent, because we hold like Shimon, Tavashen, Mischavin, is Mutter. So who injects the Kavana into the procedure?
He's a Shliach.
Oh, so you'll tell me it's Shlichas, but then we have the old Kasha, Ein Shliach Dvaver. Okay, so we have to get back into it. We started talking about that a little bit last week. We'll talk a little bit more about it this week. But that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara is that the Gadol tells the Mayol, this is what I want you to intend. I want you to think this. So it's no longer Dovash Ein Meschavin. Now the Mayol's thinking it. So now it's an act with Kavana, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, fine. Teinach Gadol. That's all good if the recipient of the Bris Mila would be a Gadol. Cut the Michael man. What are you going to tell me for an 8-year-old baby? The 8-year-old baby is thinking, and he tells the Mayol, I want you to intend to cut off my Tzaras. The 8-year-old baby doesn't know anything. So Amrav Mishar Shvi, but Amr Avi Aben, Lokut Baharois, Dibnoi, who comes Chavin. So do you want to know? The father says it. But Omar, Pashab Shat, we'll see it's Mechalikis Rishayin, but Rashi and the Mishle Melech assumes like this as well, and that the father tells the Mayol, I want you, when you cut off my son's Mila, I want you to have intent to cut off it for the purpose of Tahara as well. But Omar means that he said it to the Mayol. But Omar, look, but Omar, Avi Ben, when the father of the child said, Lokut Beres, Dibnoi, Hukam Echavim. There's another way to learn the Gemara, which is the way the Meiri learns the Gemara, was that, but Omar means not that the father told it to someone, but the father told it to us. The father's the one doing the Mila. He let us know that when he's cutting off his son's Mila, his intention is this and this. That's the way the Meiri learned the Gemara. We'll see the Mishnah Melech does not like that pshat. But Rashi does not learn that pshat in the Gemara. Let's see Rashi. Talk to the Gemara. Look, Rashi, Katan on the left side, number two. Katan. What's about a Katan? The Yada the Kavone. He doesn't know I have Kavone. Michael Mamer, what are you going to tell me? And Zagrashi, don't try to tell me that the whole chiddush of the pasuk of Bisar was only by a gadol and not by a katan, because the Torah wrote Bisar by both. Could that mean on the L? Or Bisar, the chsiv gabi katan, why did the Torah write the word Bisar to teach me that you're allowed to cut off a mila even though you're going to be cutting off a tzaras? Of course you're allowed to. It's an enemus chavin. It's an enemus chavin. There's no psik reisha yet, so it's going to be mut. So I think Gemara, Ba'omar, Zagrashi, Ba'omar, Raviya ben Lokutz. The mischavin the taharoi. The father has intention to make the child tahar. For whom Muzar, and he is warned, what exactly do those words mean? The father has a hazara that he's not allowed to do biyadayim u'b'mischavin. The father's not doing the biyadayim. The father's not doing the mila. The male's doing the mila, right? Pesach Kron's doing the mila. So we'll have to see what Rashi means. Let's just finish the Gemara, then we'll come back to deal with all these issues. Frag the Gemara, v'iyika acher, if there's another person who could do the mila, la'avid acher, let someone else do the mila. Like Rashi, what's that kasha? V'yika acher she'ina choshesh l'taro. What happened? The father tells the moil, I want you to do the mila with the intention of making my baby tar. So now the moil is bought, that's his job, so he's got to listen to the boss. So Frank the Gemara, fine, get another moil. Get another moil who won't listen to the father, won't be told anything, and let him do it. So Zog to Gemara, v'yika acher l'avad acher. Why? The Om Reish Lokish, we have the old rule of Reish Lokish. Kamokim shat emoitzi aseva loisa. Say, wherever you have an aseva loisa, say, they come into conflict. Im ato yochel l'kayim shneim. If there's a way to make both of them work, you can make them both work together. Mutav, great. Vim lav, if not, yavi aseva yidcha loisa ase. So Frank to Gemara here also. Why are you so quick to violate the Isra of cutting off a tzaras to do the mitzvah of Mila? I have another option. If the other Moil comes into town and he has no pre-existing notions of Tahara in his mind, so then you don't have to violate the Isra of tzaras.
Has he the right to do
Mila? Oh, good. That's what we're going to have to talk about at the end of the last pages. What do you mean? Doesn't the father have to do the Mila or appoint a shlech? He can't take a third party. Let's say the father is not interested in giving his kid a bris Mila. Can I just go swoop in and give my kid a bris Mila? That's going to be a very gishmak ha-macholikish we're showing him about how to understand the mitzvah of Mila, which we'll come back to.
Why does Asid Doch Losa say only in this case? In a case where you even tell the Mila. Is it Hakavana to take off the Mila, the Saras?
So. No, so the problem that we're going to have with the Gemara is, and this Tysus discusses earlier in the Masechta, which we'll come back to it, is that we learned that why are you allowed to do a tzaras with a mila? Not because of a seidah chalais, I say, because you have a gzeres akasav of besar. This rule of Reish Lakish is only true when you have a din called a seidah chalais, I say. We're not working with a seidah chalais, I say. We're working with a new din called besar. It's a gzeres akasav. It's a ribay hakara.
Why aren't we working with a seidah chalais?
Oh, okay, good. That's what we're going to have to get back to at some point.
Didn't we say
talk
say
about
say
it. So that's machlokes we're showing him if tzaras is an asay and a lois asay, or is it just an asay? Is it just a say and a loisa say? It's machlokes. It's Rambam and Rav Nissen going how to learn maskonas haGemara, the Gemara that we learned a while back. So what's the Gemara's answer? Deleka acher. There's no other mile in town. This is the only guy. There's only a mile in town. Therefore, if it's the only mile, you got to take what you can get. It's your only mile. Therefore, you have to take the mile with the bad intention, and the mile with the bad intention will still be allowed to do the mila based on the principle of besar, the extra gzeres hakos. Okay. So let's go back to this Mishnah Melech. We went through this Mishnah Melech, I think, once before. We'll go through it one more time. Very important shayla from the Mishnah Melech. Who has an issa to cut off tzaras? We've been learning about katzisas tzaras for, I don't know, 2 months already. Who has that violation? Cool. Is it on the recipient, the one who has the tzaras? Or is it on anyone? Because again, we're talking about a baby cutting off a baby's tzaras. The baby has no issa to cut off tzaras. The moil has an issa to cut off a tzaras. It's not my tzaras. It's my baby's tzaras. It's this guy's baby's tzaras. Who has the issa of katzisas tzaras?
Not the father.
What?
The
father has the issa? I mean, let's forget Mila. Let's forget Mila for a second. Let's say a guy has a 2-day-old baby, and the baby's got a tzaras on his foot, and the father says, I want to cut it off. It bothers me. So the father goes and hires a dermatologist to cut it off. Who's in violation of Katsisa's tzaras? Who violated the Yisr? Who has the Yisr? Is the Yisr to cut off your tzaras, or the Yisr is to cut off a tzaras, anyone's tzaras? You walk over to a homeless guy and you cut off his tzaras, you're in violation of Katsisa's beharis.
It's the same question like the barber.
Exactly. The Mishnah Melech makes the tzushtel to the Yisr of cutting off payas. Whose Yisr is that? Is that the barber's Yisr, or is that the Yisr of the recipient? So the Mishnah Melech discusses. So that's going to be the Shaila. Sometimes it's going to be the cutter. And sometimes it's going to be the recipient, depending on how old. Exactly. Zok the Mishnah Melech. Nira. The Mishlemelch is commenting on a line in the Rambam. The Rambam writes over there in Hilchas Tzaras that if a person cuts off a Tzaras from his body, he's in a violation of the Isser. So Mishlemelch says, don't make a faulty diak in the Rambam, that it's only if you cut off a Tzaras on your body. It's not true. Who I did if you cut off a Tzaras from anyone else also, you're in a violation. Who told the Mishlemelch this? He's a Ben Yogav Alde Garayah from our Gemara. Tabaperik, you test the Shabbos, I mean an Itzrich Batsar. Can't be cut in the meal deiches at Tzaras. The Gemara says, I need Besar to teach me that you're allowed to cut off a bris even though you'll be cutting off a tzaras. Says the Mishnah Melech, I don't understand. The Rav Mapig Lam Mikabachoy Mid the Shabbat, Rabbeinu Kosov Taimu, who Mishnah Dos says, Sevedech Eloisase, and the Rambam learned that's because of Asevedech Eloisase. Viyam, the Lek Alav, El Bekoys, the Beherosoi. Frank the Mishnah Melech, but if the Lav is only when you cut off your own Beheris. So Pshita the Mila is cutting the Eches at Tzaras. Of course, cutting off a baby's Mila is not a problem. Sharei Hamol, Mekai Mitzas Asevei, and Oiv Belav. Because I'm not over any love when I cut off someone else's baby's tzaras. Elamai says the Mishnah Melech. You see from our whole Gemara in Shabbos, from the fact that the Gemara realizes that cutting off a child's tzaras, that's not your tzaras, is still an issue. So you see that cutting off tzaras is anyone's tzaras, you're in a violation. Elavad is Dr. Mishnah Melech. She'alav hu bekaitse simane toma bein mibsaroi, bein mizulasai v'afilu mikotin. Doesn't matter whose it is. You cut off a tzaras, you're in a violation. Umiyo nearly, the choshe kaitse midas bal hatzaras haniktas over. But Zakhtar Mishnah Melech, one condition. But if you're cutting it off with consent of the Niktsas, the Niktsas agrees to it, he is with you on the idea of cutting it off, then HaNiktsas over. Then the Niktsas is also over. V'dafke Rabbi Katan over HaKoytzis. How do you know this? Says again, Mishnah Melech is telling us a Gavaldi Gechidish. When the Moyal goes over to an 80-year-old baby and cuts off his tzaras without Bemokim Milo, let's forget Milo. A dermatologist goes over to a baby and cuts off his Milo, dermatologist in violation. But if a dermatologist cuts a 15-year-old's tzaras, then the 15-year-old is in a violation. What's the difference? Says the Mishnah Melech, I'll prove it to you from our Gemara. What? Sounds like both, maybe. He says, what's the Raya? I'll tell you. He says, Gavaldi Garaya. He says, "V'daykin alam midamina b'gemara ava abaya libe d'reb shemim mehay b'sarim ayovalei amar rabam b'boim alokas beiros." So he comes and our Gemara, where our Gemara answered, where the Gadol intended to have its tzaras cut off, and Rashi learned Gadol shehu barinchin v'amal lemoi alokas beiros so he bekavon letar. That was our Rashi. Says the Mishnah Melech, one second, v'yamechein azar el al koytzeis v'lo al niktzas. If you learn that the issur is only on the cutter and not on the recipient, malonum kavonas animal. Who cares what the child, what the adult had intention? What did Rashi learn in our Gemara? The adult who got his bris milah tells the moyel, I want you to have intention to cut off my tzaras. So what? The isser is on the moyel, not on the niktzas. The moyel is not thinking that. The moyel is thinking, l'shem mitzas milah. The niktzas is thinking that. Who cares about the niktzas? He's not the one who has the violation. So what's Pshat in the Gemara's answer? Elamai says the Mishnah Melech. What do you see from over here? You see, elavadei dechosha shehu gadol haniktas hu amuzar. When the niktas is of age and he understands what's going on, and he injects into the ma'isa hakatzitza kavana, that makes this now a ma'isa iser. So learns the Mishnah Lamelech.
You could still also learn that it's solely the katan or the recipients.
We're going to get to that. Oh, we're going to talk about that. He's going to say that in the end. He's going to talk about that in a second. Then he writes, Shuvei Reisel Rabbeinu. He said this before Shirama, Perisha Mishnais. The Rambam writes in Perisha Mishnais in the Goyim Perigzai Mishnah Dalad. That he writes, Kol Misha Yasser Negat Tzaras Megufoi Meguf Chaver. Anyone who takes a Tzaras from his body or his friend's body. I mean, I beg a deal, Malkus. It gets Malkus. So you see Mefurish in the Rambam, that's Lav Dafka, your own Tzaras, and anyone's Tzaras as well. Says the Mishnah Melech, it makes sense to me, because this is just like the Lav of cutting off the beard or the corner of the pace. All those violations of cutting and making tattoos. And his friend helped out. If they're both amazing, Shneim Loikin, amazing Loikin. Hachanami says the Mishnah Melech, same thing here also. The Kavos say the Azari he carved the Bsar leheicha the Mischavan Lokutz Av Shakoytes say the Mischavan. Aval Gabi Katan, but when it comes to Katan, Kivishen Akoytes Mischavan Taroi like Itzur Kol Mishri. But the Gemara's Kash was, when you have a Katan, there is no intent. The Moil's not intending it, and the Katan's not intending it. So then you're not Chai. But if one of the two parties were to have intention to cut off the Tzaras L'Shem Ketzitzas Baheres, then there'd be a violation. That's how the Mishnah Melech understood Rashi.
So according to Rashi, though, when it's, let's say, the father, right, so does he count as two, or is that one? Meaning,
okay, so we'll talk about it. We have to come back to that because there's a Rashi which we didn't get into yet that we need to discuss more, the father's role in all this. But let's just finish the end of the Mishnah Lamelech. He writes, Umashech Richu Rashi Loimer. Frank the Mishnah Lamelech, why did Rashi learn the way he did? How did Rashi learn the Gemara? Rashi learned the Gemara that we're talking about a Gadol's getting the bris, and the Gadol told the Mayal, I want you to have in mind, or that I have in mind, I shouldn't say that. The Katan, the Gadol said, I have in mind that I want my Mila to be, to my Tzaras to be cut off. Frank the Mishnah Lamelech, why did he learn that way? Zog the Mishnah Lamelech, Gevaldik. Zog the Mishnah Lamelech, why does he have to tell it to the Moyal? Why can't it just be he was the Moyal himself? Rashi's learning that the Gadol told the Moyal, this is what I'm thinking. Okay, very nice, that's what you're thinking. Why can't it just be that the Gadol gave himself a bris and he told us what he's thinking? Now the Pasha, the answer is, it's not so easy to give yourself a bris. That's what I would have answered. But the Mishnah Melech says no. He says because he says, you would think to yourself, the chiddush of Rashi is that you would say to yourself, who cares what the nitzas says? Who cares? He's an irrelevant element of the equation. All we care about is the man with the knife. The man with the knife's intentions defines the action. It's like Rashi, no, it doesn't. If the nitzas injects into this procedure intent to have it done as a ketzitzas baharis, that makes this mice now a mice of ketzitzas baharis. Now, Rashi never said the Moyal signed up for it. The fellow told the Moyal, I want you to know this is what I'm thinking. So the Moyal said, I'm very happy you're thinking that, and I'm thinking l'shem mitzvahs mila. But that doesn't matter. Because if the niktas, who's also in violation, injects into the maisa of the ketzitza, kavonos, le tzaras, that's enough to make it a maisa isra.
Once he says that, nobody could give him a mila, right?
So if that's correct, then it wouldn't matter who you put up there. You're going to be stuck, right? That's why the Gemara didn't have another option of using another mile. It's not going to help to use another mile. Very good. We'll come to that in a few minutes.
No, a mile who didn't know another mile who was never told by the recipient that this is my machshava. He's okay.
Why?
Because he has no idea of what the machshavas are.
That might not change anything. But if you believe that the niktsas is kavana into this maisa can change it. Should it matter?
Can change it if the mole has even though the mole say, I don't care what your kavanah is, but now that I know it,
is that
I don't have a kavanah. Your kavanah is what it
I'm
is.
Not so sure that I don't know. I'm not sure. I would have learned that once the niktsas, who is an equal partner in crime, injects into the pu'ula kavanah, so now the pu'ula has an action with kavanah.
So a mole who has no idea he'll be chayiv.
No, the niktsas will be chayiv.
Only the niktsas.
In that case, I think only the niktsas will be chayiv, right? In a chram. And you still need a pasuk for that.
As opposed to how we were learning first when I asked on that.
That's right. They both.
They both know that.
Right.
Both.
See, if you look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't say, and therefore the Moyal thinks this. Rashi just says that what? You tell the Moyal, V'omal l'moho lokutz be'rasoi b'chavon elitar. Does that mean that I want you to think this? Or does that mean I'm telling you what I am thinking?
It doesn't matter, because he knows about it.
But it doesn't mean he's thinking it. The Moyal... we're going to come to shlichus in a second. The Moyal's not thinking that.
There is no shlichus.
Exactly. You don't need to come on. That's right. According to this, you don't need shlichos. Because the guy who's in trouble is the niktsas, and the niktsas is doing the entire crime. Says the Mishnah Melech, but I have another way to learn the Gemara. This is the simple way of learning the Gemara. No shlichos, no fancy lumdis. The niktsas is the violator, and the niktsas is the one who has the intention, the niktsas is the one who's guilty. And I need a pasuk for the niktsas. Says the Mishnah Melech, but that's too easy. Let's make it more complicated. He writes, Shuvra Isid Rashi, but there's not another Rashi that writes, V'ika Acher, there's another Rashi where Rashi says that if the father is polluting the Moyal's mind by keep on telling us his intention to do for Tzaras, so just get another Moyal. And Rashi says, get another Moyal and don't put the father there. That the father won't be around. So says the Mishnah, what does that have to do with anything? What happens if the father's not around? He says, "Mashmir dvar di koy av hasam." If the dad is standing there, avsha hamol ena mechavan letaharoi, even though the moyel has absolutely no intention whatsoever for tahara, afilu hachi oyver belav, you'd still be in violation. Now, how does that work? Okay, you're telling me now that the father is the baby. The baby's 8 days old, and the father's screaming, "I have a kavana of tzaras." But the moyel says, "The moyel's not here; he's in a different room." The father's locked up in three rooms away, and he's screaming to everyone who's listening that my baby's getting his tzaras cut off today. The moyel has no idea what's going on. Rashi sounds like that if the father's around, it's a problem. In fact, who cares if the father's around? If the moyel never hears these polluted words from the father, should it make a difference? Says the Mishnah Melech, "V'tam the Milsa, the kiven da mitzuve me'amitzu mutelos alav, ha'moyul shlichusei da'av ka'ovid." Says the Gemara, no. And it says Mishlech, not so fast. The father appointed the Moel as his messenger. The messenger works for the boss. They keep in the kavonos ha'av hu l'taharoi. Since the father's intentions are for tahara, hari oiver belaf, he would be an oiver belaf. Says the Mishnah Melech, according to my pshat, that there's a shlichus element over here. So now you can go back to learn a new pshat in the Gemara. When the Gemara says that the kid, the gadol, told the moil, it's not the pshat that the niktsas in the violation. The niktsas is now made. He made his boss, his employee. I'm the gadol. I told my moil, who's my works for me, what I want. Now there's shlichus. The moil is going to be chayav al shlichus. So says the Mishnah Melech, you no longer have to learn that the Niktsas is going to be Chayiv. Now the Mayil is going to be Chayiv because of the principle of Shlichus. So we have two Pshatim in the Mishnah Melech, how to learn the Gemara. Is it working through Shlichus? So if the recipient injects Kavono and now makes it Kavonos Letzaras, or maybe it's not Shlichus, but the Niktsas is an assault violation. That's the two pshatim.
Is it two pshatim or two different cases?
No, two pshatim. It's two different pshatim, because by Gadol you can say the same thing. By Gadol, now when
you
the Gadol...
You can't say it by Kutl.
No, Echrami. By Kutl, you have to come unto the father. The father will be the shlich. Yeah.
I don't understand, why would the moral be chayiv? Either case, the nixas is always chayiv.
No, this Mishnah Melech, the second Shaz, there is no such issue for the nixas. The whole issue is only for the chaytech, for the cutter. The cutter didn't have kavana. Yes, he did. Through the principle of shlichus. Now you had kavana for what I'm thinking.
No, but isn't there only shlichus on a mice and not
on a mashova? Okay, good. That's what we're going to get to in a second. That's what we're going to learn about today. Whether or not shlichus works. I mean, normally you assume shlichus works on a pu'ula. You can do the pu'ula and it's mesiachas back to me. Here you're saying that the intention of the mishaleach goes into the shlich, right? Oh, and ain't shlich d'vavei. We're going to get to that in a second. Okay. But these are the two pshat of the Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech is two pshat, how this is all going to work. Either it's going to work through shlichus or it's going to work through the niktas will be in his own violation.
So, let's say nobody says anything. Maul comes in, he's about to cut, and he sees, and he has a decision to make. Split this right there.
Right.
And he says, okay, I'm going to cut them both. So doesn't he have intention right there?
So I don't know if that automatically would be intention to cut the tzaras also.
He sees it there.
Right, but he has to have intention to want to make the baby tar. That's what it means. I have intention to make the baby tar through removing the tzaras. Here, I want to remove the milah because that's my job. My job is to remove arlos.
As long as he has no makshava
to do a lot, he's still... If you hold davar she'er mischav mutter and before psikresh, he should be mutter. Right. So comes along... That's right.
So then does he become tamar?
He will, Taka. So the truth is, the Meiri has another pshat in the Gemara, which the Mishnah Melech didn't like, but the Meiri says in Mefurish. The Meiri learns that the Gemara's case of Ba'omar Lokutz Beherosoi, it doesn't mean that I told the Moil, because if I tell the Moil, you have all these kashes about Shlichos and this and the other. The Torah says Ba'omar means that the Gadol was doing the Mila, and he let us know what his intention is. So that's Taka Veri Geshmak. He's doing the cutting, he's injecting the Kavana, so that Taka be Osir. So for that case, I need to exercise the cost of Abbasad. Maybe he writes it down in the third line. He writes, Elim kin hoyo amolas asmoi, umischavin lokutz esa beheris. And he was mechavin, the cut of his own beheris. Now, how do you read that into the Gemara? You have to read the Gemara. Be'omar doesn't mean he told someone, but he told us. He told us that I want to cut off my tzaras. Comes along, the Zeich Yitzchak, Abitzel Lepanovich has a gevaldik kasha. The kasha that everyone's already been asking. According to the Mishnah Melech, you have a kasha. You're telling me now that the moil is working as my messenger. And I told my messenger, I want you to think this. So therefore the messenger is in violation. But I can't be ein shlech d'vavera. That was the big taina in last week's parsha. Ein shlech d'vavera, the nochosh taina, divir rabbi divir talmud, leave me out of it. What did I do? There's a gevaldik medrash in last week's parsha. The medrash says that Chava took the whatever was also, she split into two and she gave him chatzi shir. So, fact, I'm not like to be a shlomish. What's going on with it? A lot of lomdus shayals that come out from the story of the Eitz Hadas. In any case, that's one of the famous ones. What happened to chatzi shir? So there's a shtickle Torah that if it says loisoichol versus other isurim, how do you get around it? Okay. In any case, so we know that ein shlech d'vaver, a rule of chol Torah kula ein shlech d'vaver. So, fact, a bit. So here also, how can me the moyel be in a violation of cutting off a tzaras? Because I'm your messenger. I'm not your messenger to do a surim. It doesn't work that way. In fact, the Bitzel in Sefer Zeichi Yitzchak, number 5, he writes, he says, the third line in, number 5, Omnam de Virashim Uchrachim, the Hanimel Gufa Eini Oiver, the Nimel's not Oiver, the Habegroma Mutta Bikzisber, he holds the Nimel's only a Groma. Fuein El Messayeh, El Messayeh, May Mamish. Okay, the Mishnah Melech might tell you in his first Pshat that that to you was enough to be Mechayev you. Valke Nir Mizeh, the Godel Kishan Nimel Hamoel, Hushluchoy, he's a Shliach. Vikivan the Hushluchoy, Vamishaleach, Mechavin, Shov Chayev Al Kol Meis, Hushluchoy. Fine. V'av de'en shliach d'var aveira. Frank de Mitzel, what happened to en shliach d'var aveira? So, gewaldige chiddush. Zeh rak b'bar chiyuva. That's only when both parties have the violation. Avol kan shalule kavonas ha-mishaleach en kanisu. Over here, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with cutting off a tzaras. It's only cutting off a tzaras with intention to make a tahara. That's the whole din of davishen mischav and mutter. Meaning there are certain actions that are be'etzem aser, no matter what you intend or not intend. Right, you do mulach on Shabbos, whatever, get a more complicated, but you do an iser, so it's aser no matter what you thought. Over here, cutting off a tzaras is not really aser. Cutting off a tzaras with intention to create a tahara is aser. So they have a zogter rebitzel, gavaldik chiddush. He says, avol kan shalule kavanas ha-mishalech ein kan iser. Right, without the kavanah of the mishalech, what the shliach is doing is not really an iser. Therefore, he says, if you look at the shliach, he's not really mechuyev in the iser of cutting off a baris, because what he's doing is not really aser. V'shuv oiver hagodol hanimol b'shvil ma'isa shliach kivnu mechaver. I'm only chayiv. Why? Because your intention crept into my action, and your attention attached to my ma'isa. Now that now made my ma'isa a ma'isa iser. He writes v'shuv avaharezekim ashikas v'ator b'kinyonim. He says such a type of shlichus does work. Sometimes you can have a chiddush where the shliach does the pula, the mishalech does the intention, and they come together. They come together. Now normally you say that doesn't work. The shliach, if he's the one doing the action, he has to have the one to have to do the kavona. He has to have the intention as well. Zog to bitzel, not true. Sometimes you can have one guy do the action, one guy do the kavona, and they come together. And they come together to create whatever the result is going to be. Here, the result is going to be an iser. But because my job as a shliach was just to cut off, and my job, be yisoidi, has no iser, there's no problem of ein shliach d'var aveira. So learns a bit. Very hard to understand.
Well, according to Mishnah, it's also an iser to cut off someone else's.
No.
Of course, the Rambam who said,
right, but the Mishnah Melech's pshat of coming onto shlichus said you don't have to come onto that anymore. He's saying that if I can come onto shlichus, I have no right anymore that the niktzas has his own iser. Now, I don't know if he's agrees to that, Rabbi Yitzchak agrees to that, but that was the Mishnah Melech's agenda. Mishnah Melech's agenda was, if I can convince you another way to create a chiyuv through shlichus, there's no raya anymore that the niktzas.
Is there cutting off the tzaras is if you do with the intent of...
Yeah, we're going like, because we're going to court to Shimon now that Dov Shem Mishchavet is mutter. So, where do you find such a concept? Where do you find such a concept? That the shlich does the ma'isa and the mishalech and checks the kavan into it? So if you look over here, it's Mufurish and Ktzais, in number 6. The Ktzais writes, Venira. Let's say I send someone to do a job for me. I tell him, go down the block and build on the property. Now, the shliach thinks it's my property, and therefore there's no kinyonim necessary. But really, it's nechse hager. So the maisa kinyon that he's doing is supposed to be with intention to create a kinyon. So you'd say to yourself, well, if the guy who does the building doesn't have intention for the sake of kinyon, then it doesn't work. Because it's a maisa on a kavana. So the says no. Even though the shliach has no idea, why? Part of shlucha shalom kemoise means that my intention is enough to be injected into your action. You're me, I'm you. So therefore, my intention is good enough for the action that you did.
Same thing by
the metziah. Oh, we get to that's the next raya. His next raya is same thing with the metziah.
Why does he have to be dafke nechse ager? Why can't it be anybody?
And echrami, I guess it would be. I guess you have to find out a case where I'm not thinking that I'm trying to make a kinyan. I mean, if I walk into someone else's property, so there's something.
You know what I tell you? To go build a fence on somebody else's property. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, the concept of
zochin love. No. Here we're using, here what's going on over here is that the ma'isa hashliach is the ma'isa kinyan. But the ma'isa kinyan lacks, that's kinyan. So zog, it's no problem. The mishalech can make up for it. Why? Shluch Hashem kemoisa. So he's ma'amish taking shluch Hashem kemoisa literally. I'm you, you're me. So when you build the house, it's like I'm building the house. And my intention is going into your building. Most of us would have learned shluch Hashem kemoisa means that I have the power to have people do things on my behalf. That's Pashup Shah and Shluch Hashem. That's right. Shimon says it. Shluch Hashem kemoisa means doesn't mean you become me and I become you. I'm me, you're you. I have my bank account, you have your bank account. I have my pants, you have your. It's like you don't step into my shoes. You can do things on my behalf. So you can build a house for me, and it's like I built the house. But it's not like you built the house with my intention. It's you built the house for me, but I'm still the one who's thinking it, and I'm not the one who built it.
But
you're
saying that it's not like that.
I'm saying without this, that's what I would have thought. Right. The Ktzais is teaching us that that's not the lomdus. Right. The Ktzais is teaching us that Shluch Hashem Kemaisa means that I become you and you become me, and anything that I do is like you did it. So if it's as if you built the house and you had Kavana, so you have a built house with Kavana. It's beautiful.
It wasn't even his property to build the house, so once the Shliach points out, he could say, hey, I built this house, it's
mind.
No, no, I was doing it as your shliach. I knew I was building it for you. That wasn't the question.
No,
you,
I thought we said that he didn't know. I didn't know that
it was nichseh ager. I thought it was your own property. I thought you bought this property a week ago, and now you asked me to build a house for you. And little did I know that, no, this is really hefker, and this building is to create a bialis right now. So my chesaron and kavana was I didn't have a das to make a kinyan on the property. So says the so it's another case. Let's say you have sitting with a mitzvah. Let's say I'm walking down the street with my friend, and there's a lost object. He doesn't know it's lost. He thinks it's mine. I say, do me a favor, can you pick it up? So he picks it up, thinking that he's doing me a favor, picking up my dropped watch. It's really a lost object. So Zoktik Tzai, same thing. He does the Maisa, I do the Kavana, we're good to go. So that's really what's going on in our Gemara. In our Gemara, we're saying the same thing. We're saying that when the Moil does the cutting and I have the Kavana, we come together through the power of Shlichus. Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon and Chedush Reb Shimon. Well, that was Rebitzel's Chiddush. As Rebitzel took it.
That's not a raya. This is a mutter thing.
And Achramis. That's what one could debate. Maybe Averis is completely different. And Shalver might be different. 100%. And Reb Shimon, again, we did this already last time, so we're just going to, I'm not going to read it inside, we're just going to mention it. Reb Shimon adamantly disagrees with this. So Reb Shimon says, what are you talking about? How does that work? That the Shliach does the Maisa and the Mishalech injects the Kavana? What are you talking about? That doesn't work. The Shliach has to do the whole job. The job is Kinyan plus Kavana. If you do Kinyan without Kavana, it's half a job. So Reb Shimon disagrees with this premise. So it's a very Gishmak, a Lomdish Shaila of how Shlichus works. To what extent can the Shliach do the Maisa and have the Kavana be compensated perhaps by the Mishalech? Okay, this was really last week, whatever, last month's Torah. Now we're ready to move on. Let's go back to the Gemara for 2 seconds. Let's go back to the Gemara for a second. This was just for the sake of Chazara. The importance of reviewing. Now, the Gemara had a kasha. The Gemara had a kasha that what? Why don't we say, get another moil? You should get another moil. Why should you get another moil? Because if I can get another moil that doesn't have intentions of anything of intentions about Tzitzis Beheres, because no father told him this, get another moil without the father and we'll cut off the Mila without having to violate any Yisur. Why should you do that? Yeah.
But won't he see it also? I mean, any competent moil will see it.
What's that going to help? But the moil has no reason to be tired of the baby. He doesn't care about the baby. It's not his baby.
How can that help now with our history?
Okay, we're going to have to deal with that.
The father has to get somewhere
else. Oh, that's what we got to get to. That's the big question. Is that so partial that you can just leave the father out of the equation? You can just cut the father out and say, you know what, father, you're out of the equation. The assumption would be is learning Kedushin Daf Chav Tes, that the father has a chiv to do the Mila. If the father can't be the Mila, so then he has a chiv to give it to appoint someone who is a Mila. But it's the father's chiv. That's the opening mission in Kedushin Daf Chav Tes. It's the father's mitzvah. So we'll see, and we spoke about this in the past.
On the base dinner on Klai Sol to get the
right, that's if the father doesn't do his chiv. Right. If the father doesn't
he's
do his chiv.
So you're not doing it. If he's
gonna he's perverting his chiv over here. Right, so we'll have to talk about the famous sheet of the Marach or Zuru. We'll hopefully get to that at some point. It's rather negeya to Sukkah. There's a big discussion amongst the Rishayim, not so much in the Rishayim, more in the Achrayim. Is there a mitzvah to build a Sukkah? Or is there a mitzvah to sit in a Sukkah? Is Binyan Sukkah mitzvah? Is Binyan Sukkah just a Hechshah mitzvah? A big discussion.
We did discuss it.
Baruch Hashem. I don't remember anymore. Well, that's right, the famous Netziv. The truth, if you look in the Shultas, I looked up the Shultas. The Shultas is not mashma the way the Netziv learns the Shultas. The Shultas is more mashma the way the Aruch Lener learns that. It's taka two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to build a sukkah, there's a mitzvah to sit in a sukkah. What's this negeh to? Is there a din called mitzvah by Yosef B'Shlucha? Let's say you're a handy guy, but you're not interested in building a sukkah. So you'll hire, you tell your son, build a sukkah for me. You'll hire the neighborhood kids. If there's taka mitzvah to build a sukkah, if there's taka mitzvah to build a sukkah, so we have a rule mitzvah by Yosef B'Shlucha. No, I had to go. I was given a very horrible job this Sukkot. I had to go to Home Depot. I never felt like a bigger Amar Arts in my life. I'm telling you, it was mamish. I felt like the biggest Amar. I walk into the store and I'm watching these two guys, ladies, and they're schlepping these massive boards. I was so in the spot. I said, "That's pshat." The Gemara talks about Sukkot's Ganbach. Women building a sukkah. I never heard a lady building a sukkah. You see these ladies? They weren't from. They weren't Jewish. But they know more about. I walk in the store. I don't know anything. I felt like the biggest Amartz. So I was talking to a Talmud of mine who helped me build my sukkah, and I told him this. He says, "That's how I feel when I open a Gemara." I said I feel, but I'm his Rebbe. I feel guilty about that. That means I did something wrong. But it's a very powerful line. It's very true. If you feel like the Gemara is Chinese, you're not going to want to learn Gemara. No, it's I told him that's got to be a kapar for equal to Yom Kippur. Having to go to home, and all I needed was a hinge to a door. Hinge to a door is all I needed. It took me like 25 minutes. It was a very, very moving experience of real kapara, of knowing what you don't know in this world. But in any case, so if you don't, I'm not handy at all. I've people say they have two left hands. I have three left hands. They get even more trouble. So I give someone as a shlech. But if you talk a handy guy, so you should build the sukkah yourself. Mitzvah by Yosef B'Shluchay. It should be yours. So there are dumb people that... What?
You don't even own the sukkah. You pay someone to put it up and take it down.
No, you still own the sukkah. Do you have to own the sukkah, you mean?
Yeah.
No.
Right. Meaning, right, if you hold that there's a mitzvah to build the sukkah, so you got to be able to you have to have the rights to build it. I can't build someone else's wood.
Well, that's the question. Is there a mitzvah to build your own sukkah or Yadam's? Meaning, if you hire, let's say, this crew, do they get 100 mitzvahs for building 100 sukkahs?
Yeah, because they're through shlichos, through the mitzvah of shlichos. They're my shliach. So the mitzvah goes
to
the mishaleach.
The builders themselves don't get any
mitzvah. No, goes to the mishaleach. But if you hold that the building of sukkah is just a hechsher mitzvah, and I have to have a sukkah to sit in, so then I don't have to build it. The sukkah can come yesh me'ayin. Again, you have a problem with tassel and also you have to kashu it properly. So that's the big shaleach. So there's merach or zeru, that's medamet tamila, which we'll get to at some point. The famous merach or zeru, which we spoke about already. I spoke about merach or zeru months ago when we first started learning the Beloz de Mila. We talked about the merach or zeru is of the opinion that Mila is all final result. It's not about how to, it's the final result. Most people think Mila is about the cutting of the skin. No, says merach or zeru, it's not. Merach or zeru was the son of the or zeru, which we'll see why that makes a problem in a second, or later today, hopefully. Says the merach or zeru that it's final product. It's all about final product. Final product means a baby without an erla. Final product is have a sukkah to sit in. How you get there, I don't care. You figure it out. You buy it. You hire someone. You whatever. You figure it out. Final product is you better have a sukkah to sit in. Come sukkah. So that's going to be negated to our sugya over here. How do we understand the mitzvah? But what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, if I can hire another mile, let me use another mile. Why? Because we have a rule that we don't say asei doichel loisa asei if we don't need to. So Tosfos writes over in number 10. Taisa Daf Kuf Lamed, that's two blot earlier. So Taisa says, 1 second. Kosher the Rashba. Frank the Rashba. Ha, Amin, the Kamon, the Pirk of the Gemara says, later on, come up and shout the Moisa, say, Veloisa, say, Imat Yochel Kaim Shneim Mutav, Vahocha, Kibin Def Shal Kaim Shneim, Avi Derek Gagas, Chatez, Kafiv, Zamaya, Vios, Derek Shis Rabim. If you remember the Gemara way back in Rabbi Lozer the Mila, way back, the Gemara said that Rabbi Lozer held, you're allowed to carry the Mila through the Rishis Rabim. So Frank Taisa Kasha, why? Because he held that the Asay of Mila is Deichel Loisa. But so what? If you can make them both work together, and you don't have to violate the Torah, don't go out of your way to violate the Torah. If you can bring it through Derech, if you can bring it through Derech Gagas Kafifas, you can bring it through the Rabbanon, so why do you go out of your way to be Ovinus to the Reich? Why do it? So he says, V'lekel meimor degabi milo degoli rachmona be dedochi shabbos k'doshin l'kamon lo yamin en hachi. He says, maybe you'll tell me, no, milo is hutra. Hutra, all bets are off. When did Reish Lakish say that asay doichel lois asay, try to make them both work? That's when it's asay doichel lois asay. When one's pushing away the other, so the Reish Lakish said, why do you have to make one push the other? Make them work together. But if one is hutra, one is not dechuya, but it's hutra. If it's hutra, then maybe hutra means it's like Tuesday. If it's like Tuesday, you can do whatever you want. So Tosfos is suggesting over there, maybe Mila on Shabbos is hutra. So Tosfos, you can't say that. Why? Says Taisa, prove to you from our Gemara. Our Gemara said that Mila Bitsaras is Dchuya. How do you know Mila Bitsaras is Dchuya? Because the Gemara asked, try to make both things work. Why should I make both things work? Mila is Hutra. If Mila is Hutra, I don't have to make both things work. I can do whatever I want. So says Taisa, if you see that Mila Bitsaras is not Hutra, so he's assuming Mila B'Shabbos is also not Hutra. Says the Netziv, maybe Mila B'Shabbos is different than Mila B'Tzaras. Okay, get to that in a second.
The first part's in Rabbi Eliezer. We're not holding like that. We're holding in this Gemara not like this.
No, but the point is that the Gemara is still suggesting the same notion. The Gemara is suggesting that you should apply the rule of, meaning, Taisus is trying to figure out, how do you look at Mila B'Shabbos? Is Mila B'Shabbos Hutra? Is Mila B'Shabbos? Now, we spoke about once, maybe that's Gufa Machlokes Rabbi Lozen the Rabbanon, if it's Hutra or such a pshat like that. But Tais is assuming that if I see from our Gemara that our Gemara thinks he should try to make both work, that means our Gemara thinks that Mila Bitsaras is Tchuya. So Tais, if Mila Bitsaras is Tchuya, Mila B'Shabbos is Tchuya. Frekta Netziv, Frekta Chasam Seif, Mecha Tais. Mila Bitsaras and Mila B'Shabbos are two separate sugyas. So if you look over here in number 12, number 12 says the Netziv, he writes, Av Mechadushi Rashba Lamadati, Yishav Alzeh. Says the Netziv, no, Mila B'Shabbos is maybe Hutra. Why? Listen to the way he says it. Because you'll always have to be over. There's no way to make Shabbos and Mila not be a steer to each other. There is a way that you don't have to violate the Shabbos with the Tzaras. The kid gets better. Therefore, says the Netziv, says the Netziv, I disagree with Tosfos. I think that Shabbos and Mila is takahutra. Because since Shabbos and Mila always conflict, there's always a conflict between the two of them, so you have to say it's hutra. When Hashem set up the Torah, and he set up Shabbos, and he set up Mila, he set it up as a hutra. But Mila b'tzaras, they don't always come into conflict. It's very possible the baby gets better, you don't have to go off the tzaras. Or pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh and Shabbos always have to collide. Every Shabbos has to be someone who's sick. No. There could be a Shabbos with no one sick. Therefore, says the Nitziv, that's the chuyah. So says the Nitziv, that's the answer to Taisus is kasha. Mila b'Shabbos is taka hutra. Mila b'tzaras, our Gemara, that's taka tchuyah. Oh, if it's tchuyah, that's why the Gemara has a kasha. From Rish Lakish, you try to make both things work. Says the Chassam Sofer, it can't be. Says the Chassam Sofer, number 613, impossible. He quotes his teretz in the Magine Shleima, who gives the same teretz as the Nitziv, that the teretz is what? That Mila b'Shabbos is taka hutra. Mila b'tzaras is the chuyah, and they're not the same. Says the Chassam Sofer, it can't be. Third line, Udvar of Tzarech Liyin, the Efshel Chalak Bein Mila L'Tzeras. The Aboy L'Melech L'Kamon Kuf Lamed Beis, Mila B'Shabbos, Mila B'Tzeras. Frak the Chassam Saif, what are you talking about? The Gemara had a Havamina to learn out Mila B'Shabbos from Mila B'Tzeras. Frak the Chassam Saif, how can you learn one from the other? One is Hutch and one is Dechuyah. If this lumnus is correct, that there's a fundamental difference between Mila B'Shabbos and Mila B'Tzeras, how can you learn one from the other? Ulehanal Haloy Domi. So therefore, Zakh Chassam Sofer, I don't like this pshat, and therefore the Chassam Sofer rejects this pshat, and he says, that's not what's going on over here. Okay, one more Ma'ar Mokim for the old sugya, then we're really going to move weiter. There's a famous rush over here, everyone knows this, Taisvus and Ksubis quotes an Aruch, famous Aruch. Everyone knows this Aruch. The Aruch writes that Davish ein Mischavin, that's a psik reisha de loy nichale, is mutter. We don't pask like the Aruch. We pask Davish ein Mischavin, and it's a psik reisha, is Aser, but it's not in the Seder Reis. Let's say, for example, I walk into your field, and I don't care if your grass grows or not. I don't even like you that much. I don't even care if your grass grows. And I decide to water your grass, or I don't water it. Let's say I wash my hands. In a way that by washing my hands, it's going to guarantee that the water is going to spill down off the, it's going to get to the with the sukkah. Let's say you pull back your shlak, and everything spills down. So that's a classic example. That's a dovish edem eschavin, but it's a psikration. It's going to happen. But it's lechnichli. I don't care if your grass gets better. So Taisvah says, most Rishonim pasuk it's aser. The Aruch says, it's mutter. So the Aruch, it brings one of his rashi from Ar Gemara. What happened in Ar Gemara? The Gemara said that why don't you get another mile? What do you gain by getting another mile? You get another mile, and what does that help? So then you're going to have a case of Dovish and Mishchavin, but it's still Psikresha. So he's still cutting off the Tzeras. Teretz is another mile is Leinichale. He doesn't care. He's not listening to the father. He has no skin in the games. So Zok to Rush, you see from there, Dovish and Mishchavin on a Psikresha, Leinichale is Takamutter. Zok to Rush, what are you talking about? That Gemara was all before we knew anything about Psikresha. Now that we learn Psikresha, that's not true. Okay, that's the obvious Kasha. Now, let's just make one quick Haskalah for next week's Sugya, and we'll pick up over here. The Gemara had a Kasha. Let someone else do the Mila. What do you mean, let someone else do the Mila? Isn't it the father's job? So the Darki Moshe, number 16, quotes in Arzurah. Got cut off. I apologize. I'll just read it to you inside. You guys, it's Kosovo Arzurah. In Ma'av Moyel, if the father is a Moyel, also elite in the Moyel Acher. The Arzurah has the following clause. Let's say you have a father who's a surgeon. He's a doctor, whatever it is. He has medical knowledge, or he's a Moyel. But, you know, his wife doesn't trust him with their own kids. You know, sometimes you have these types of things, you know. My kids went to the Twins from France show. I don't know if anyone's familiar with these two guys, the two Chabatskas guys. They do tricks, crazy tricks. So this year, my kids told me they used their own kid in one of the things. They took their baby and they threw it up in the air and they danced. So I asked my kids, was the mother there? She said, no, the mother was not there. I said, of course. You think the mother's crazy? She's going to watch this guy throw the kid in the air and then who knows what these other things? So sometimes it's better you don't know, not on my kid. You know, I let you do it on someone else's kid, you don't do it on my kid. So here there was a rule. So let's say the mother, the wife tells the husband, you're a moyel, but not for our kids. You got to hire someone else. Says there's a rule. It's aser. Aser lita in the moyel acher. You're not allowed to. Shadows, why not? Why can't I aser? Why is it aser? I lose a mitzvah maybe. It's not mitzvah by Yosef Uzuch, but why is it aser? Frech the Darki Moshe v'tzorech yeh. Maish nam mitzvah acheres. Why is it even any other mitzvah? Diyachal aser shlechum kemoi. This is going to take us down the very, very deep conversation. That doesn't make it aser. Aser means your mom's not yaitze. What do you mean not yaitze? Why not? What's the other famous Ramah where the Ramah says you can't use shlichus? Everyone talks about this. It's by Pidyon HaBen. There's Ramah and Pidyon HaBen. The Ramah says you can't use shlichus for Pidyon HaBen. And everyone is up in arms. The Shach and the Taz and the Sardar. Shulchan Aruch. What's going on over here? Pidyon HaBen is like any other mitzvah in the world. Why can't you have shlichus for Pidyon HaBen? So over there, there's a very famous word from the Goyin. The Goyin writes that Pidyon HaBen is Kamoi Priyas Chayv Ba'alma. Forget. Not that, of course, you can make a shlich. You don't even need a shlich for Pidyon HaBen. Because what's Pidyon HaBen? It's paying up your bills. Do I need to make you a shlich if you want to pay up my phone bill? If you want to pay my credit card bill, I'd have to make you a shlich to pay my credit card bill? Of course not. You call up the credit card, you say, I want to pay his bill. They'll be more than happy to take your money. A Prius Choyv doesn't need Shlichus. So the question over here is, how do you look at something like Mila and something like Pidyon HaBen? They're mitzvahs, but there's a final result to them. If that final result is just get it done however you get it done, and I don't care who does it, or it has to be my place, you have to be acting as me, but then the next week we'll discuss much more the role of Shlichus in the midst of Mila, in the midst of other things, how exactly